today we have Jennifer Yen, and she's an old-timer for us. She was on the Moms Connect committee last year, and then this year she's gotten busy with kids, but most importantly, she started working at a nonprofit called Water at Work. And I'll let her say a little bit about that. But Jennifer was one of our favorite speakers last year, and she did One Step Ahead. Who was here last time? And we all loved it. So she's going to do that again, but she's tweaked it, and it's going to be different. But we're excited to have her. So come on, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be with you all this year. Again, a lot of new faces that I do not know. And like Vicki said, I was here with you all a lot last year, but things have gotten busier this year. But I'm so happy to be back this morning. So let me just pray to open us up real quickly, and then we will get started. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each and every mom and baby in here and every child downstairs, Lord. And we just are so grateful for a time that we can fellowship with one another, have fun, and hopefully draw a little bit closer to you as well. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have two boys, 4 and 7, which is a really cool season of life because the older one's in school, the younger one is sleeping better. Last year I was talking about him a lot because he was just my kid who didn't sleep and tantruming a lot, and he's chilled out a little bit, so I kind of feel like, all right, it's getting a little bit easier, and I can shower and like leave them alone and everything is fine, except last night, I bathed the boys and they're in the jammies and they're playing, rolling around on my bed, and I go, okay, boys, I'm going to go take a quick shower. So I'm in there in the shower, and all they hear, suddenly I hear, boom, wah! And I was like, okay, maybe I'm not in the season of life where I can just go take a shower, because they were wrestling, which is what 4 and 7-year-old boys do, on the bed, and the 4-year-old fell off. So he was fine. I ran out, like, dripping wet, not the most attractive scene there, but everything was okay. So all that to say, parenting is fun, and it always keeps us on our toes, right? Today we're going to talk about mom friendships a little bit, which is kind of a funny topic for me to be talking about because you might be surprised to know this, but I'm actually an introvert, a friendly introvert, I'd like to think. But my ideal evening is just to really kind of be by myself and pajamas, no bra, because who wants to wear a bra ever? I did put one on for you guys, but typically, I mean, I keep a bra like by the door, so if someone rings the doorbell, I could like pop it on real quick before I open the door, but you know, braless at home, watching some Netflix is my jam. And the idea of kind of branching out and making friends can be a little bit exhausting to me. But as I was preparing for this talk today, it was really cool because God brought me a pair of friends in the Bible that I hadn't really thought of before, and that is Elizabeth and Mary. So let's see if I can get this working. All of us know a lot about Mary, the mother of Jesus, of course. We don't often stop to think about Elizabeth very much, but Elizabeth was married to Zechariah, and he was a priest, so they came from a pretty, you know, kind of upper class. They were in good standing, but they were very well along in age, and Elizabeth had never been able to bear a child. And for any of you, I'm sure there's at least a handful of you in here, myself included, who have struggled with fertility at some point in your life. It's hard nowadays to struggle with fertility, but back then it was even worse. You didn't have the medical things that we have now, and there was a lot of shame, and people thought that the reason God didn't bless you with a child is because you did something wrong. It was your fault. So I can only imagine Elizabeth being past menopause, never having born a child. Her husband's a priest, for crying out loud. But for whatever reason, God had just never given her that baby that she so longed for. Well, one day, if you're familiar with the story, Zechariah is chosen out of all the priests. It's his turn to go into the temple. And I think there was something like, I mean, there are hundreds of priests to choose from, so you maybe only have one opportunity when they choose the lot for you to go inside. And when he went into that inner room, he had an encounter with an angel of the Lord. And that angel spoke directly to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call him John. And he did not believe. He doubted, and as a result, let's see, I think I've got the passage up here. The angel said, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So he maybe didn't do the best thing there. But lo and behold, it did come to pass that Elizabeth became pregnant shortly after that encounter and was overjoyed. For 5 months, during the first 5 months of her pregnancy, she went into seclusion. I don't know what she did during those 5 months. We know from scripture that Zechariah was not able to speak. So for some of us, that would be really difficult. For some of us, that might be kind of a cool thing. You're like, hey, I can say and do whatever I want. My husband can't really say anything to me. But I imagine it might have been a lonely time for her. I imagine it was a time of deep communion with God for her as she was growing this new life inside of her. So we fast forward just a little bit, and we see Mary entering the story. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, Mary, we all know, was pretty young. I think she was like 15, 16, super young. Very different back then. You're just basically betrothed, and so you don't have a lot of dating experience or anything like that. And to find out that you're pregnant, I can only imagine what type of response she was given by her parents and by other people. But she had faith, and her next step was going to Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mary probably had so many mixed emotions, and her family might have feared for her safety, because you could have been stoned to death during that time if you were found to be pregnant out of wedlock. But she took the initiative in traveling. It was about 100 miles between where she lived and where her cousin Elizabeth lived. But she took that initiative, being newly pregnant, walking all the way to Elizabeth's house, because she knew she needed a friend. She knew she needed a refuge. And what I really love is the way that Elizabeth greeted her with complete joy, arms wide open. She believed her story because a similar thing had happened to her, and there was no ounce of jealousy whatsoever. If you think about it, Elizabeth had a right to feel kind of envious. She had waited maybe 70 years before she was able to get pregnant. Imagine, I can remember when we were struggling to get pregnant with my first, every month of trying to get pregnant and being disappointed and the emotions and the heartache and how Elizabeth probably went through that, but even to a greater extent. And here comes this young girl who is pregnant without even trying. And not only that, she is carrying the Lord, the Messiah, the one that everyone is going to be waiting for. So Elizabeth certainly had reason to feel jealous or envious, but instead, she welcomed her, and she rejoiced with her, and she believed her, and she encouraged her. What a beautiful picture of what I'm calling a one-step-ahead friend. Now, Elizabeth was probably a lot older than Mary, so we might consider her like five-step-ahead friend. But in actuality, they were going through a very similar life experience. So it's not so much about age, but it's about experience and what you're walking through. The scripture also said that they spent about 3 months together. It might have been because Mary was, you know, kind of hiding for her safety. It might have also been because Elizabeth was 70 and pregnant, and at the third trimester, I mean, y'all remember, some of you are in it now, right? It is not easy to be in your third trimester at any age, but if you're that old, and your husband's probably no help. You need a helpmate. And I can imagine that Mary was probably Elizabeth's helpmate during those 3 months. I love this painting I found of them just sitting together, and you can tell the age difference. But you know, she's like sitting on a pillow, and she's got, you know, a pillow under her feet. You got to make yourself comfortable when you're pregnant, right? And, you know, the Bible doesn't fill in the gaps there for us, but I think we can all envision the sweet moments they had together of Mary preparing meals for Elizabeth, or giving each other shoulder rubs, or talking about, you know, oh, I'm feeling this. Is this normal? I don't know. Is this normal for you? Like, are you throwing up? Like, what's going on? They probably didn't have the OBGYN services or doulas that we have nowadays. They really had each other, and they had to lean into that friendship that might have looked strange to outsiders because they were, you know, so different. But I believe that God really was using these women, and look at the sons that they bore, right? John the Baptist and Jesus, that legacy. So, qualities of a one-step-ahead friend. And I want you to think in your mind, who is someone like this in your life right now, if you have someone like that? It's a mom friend who you admire, doesn't judge you, but rather encourages and affirms you. Might be a little bit older, or whose children are a little bit older than yours. Someone who is wise and speaks the truth in love to you and points you to Christ. Those, when I think about those qualities, it can be a little overwhelming because I'm like, wow, I don't know if I can exhibit that to anyone, but I think those are some great goals to have. It might be a lifelong friend if you're lucky enough to have a friend that you've known for years and that you're still really tight, then I think that's really, really special. It could be a friend just for one short season of life. I'm sure we can all remember maybe a good college friend that you were besties in college, but you've lost touch over the years. Or maybe it's a new mom friend that you've met in this season of life. But as your kids get older, you might, you know, someone moves away or things change. Or it can even be a one-encounter friend. I don't know if you've ever had a friend where you just met someone and you meet for coffee or lunch or something, and they just really speak into you for one or two encounters, and that's it. But God used that person in a significant way. So I think those can count as well. This baby is just, oh, I just want to eat him up. Fuck you, I'm sorry. All right. So how can I, sorry, I touched my computer and it. How can I find a friend like this? Hopefully we all have some, but there's always room for more. Or if you don't have one, here are some ways that I have found friends. This sounds kind of funny. But joining a discipleship group, I hope that you all have taken advantage of that. If you're here at Perimeter, I think it's one of the neatest things they offer is, you know, kind of their version of a Bible study group. But you basically journey with a small group of women, typically commit to about 3 years together. You're usually around like the same age or stage of life. And the women that I've been in mine, this is my third year, and they have just been awesome, and it's been a real growing experience for me. So that is definitely a great place. Before I joined that, I was in CBS, Community Bible Study, and there's another counterpart one called Bible Study Fellowship. Those are great places too. Now they're a lot bigger, but especially if you're interested in kind of branching out and rubbing shoulders with women that are older than you, that's a great place too, because you're put into a Bible study group. There might be 15 or 20 of you in a small group, but I had women that were grandmothers that were in my group, and you get to know each other, and you get wisdom from people who are a lot older than you. So that's kind of a neat way too. MOPS, some of you ladies in here, I know you from MOPS, or a mom's club, you know, kind of structured playdate groups and things like that. And then, especially as your children get a little bit older, connecting with your children's friends' moms. I'm not sure if all my apostrophes are right there. I think so. But now that my older son, especially, who's 7, is making his own friends, he wants to go over to so-and-so's house to play. And I'm like, well, I don't know so-and-so's mom, and I don't know if they have guns in the house or what's going on, but let's let me reach out to her and maybe we'll hit it off. And if so, then yeah, absolutely. Let's do some play dates and things like that. So that's kind of forcing me into relationships with moms that maybe I wouldn't have met before, or PTA or soccer and things like that. So that's kind of the stage that I'm in right now. And investing in the friends you already have by being really intentional, but also looking for opportunities to branch out. I remember when I had my first, and then a couple years later, I had my second. It was a really isolating time, transitioning from working and having colleagues and, you know, all the human adult interaction to just being a at-home, stay-at-home mom. Of course, there's kind of the identity change, but you're just home a lot. Even if you have a play date scheduled for the morning, it's probably only 2 hours because the kids got a nap, right? So most of the hours of the day, you're still at home, and you're kind of waiting for that husband to get home or waiting until the next nap time, and you're just home, braless, by yourself, like chilling. I guess if you're nursing, having a bra is helpful because you need those little nursing pads and stuff. But and it took a lot of intentionality to get out of that seclusion. And I think something I try to do was break up my week so that I knew, okay, Wednesdays I'm going to go to this group, and Fridays I'm going to go to this group, so that I'm interacting. Okay, Thursday will be like my target day, so I'll interact with the cashier at least. But, you know, that's better than being by myself. Or Tuesday we'll go to the library, so we have story time. And it's little steps like that, but you might make a friend at that story time. Or I think if we become too isolated, it can be a depressing season if you allow it to be. But I think God really calls us into communion with people. And during this time when we're raising these little humans and it's such hard work, we need moms right alongside us to encourage us and to do it with us. And to tell us that, you know, everything is going to be okay, because I needed to hear that a lot, I think. I'm going to give you a quick example before we do hopefully what's going to be a fun activity. We'll see. So an example of how God used some of these places that I mentioned on the last screen to bring friends into my life, to lead me. I call them my one-step-ahead friends who brought me to my next step. So I mentioned community Bible study. So I did that years ago. My first was a baby. And honestly, guys, I looked for things where they had childcare, like cheap or free childcare. That was key. If they didn't have that, I'm not going, right? But Community Bible Study had great childcare, so I signed up and went. I probably knew one person there, but I got put in a group, and one of the girls in my group the first year was named April. She actually goes to Perimeter. And every time she shared, I was like leaning in. She was maybe, I don't know, 8, 9 years older than me. I loved everything she said, and she just seemed so wise to me. You know, we talked about parenting sometimes. I love the way she parented, and she was really involved in nonprofit work, and I had never really thought about it before, but I was like, wow, I want to be like her. And it was kind of awkward because I didn't know her at all, but I had her email because, you know, we're on an email listserv. So one day, I emailed her out of the blue. I said, hey, can we get together? Because I really like you, and I think I could learn a lot from you. Can we get together sometime? It was just kind of like awkward, you know? But she was really sweet. She was like, yeah, sure, anytime. And I still remember, it was probably 6 years ago. She came over to my house. We were sitting on the floor in the playroom. I probably put a bra on for her because I didn't know her well. And I, you know, my oldest is probably just crawling around, and I said, April, I don't know what it is about you, but I kind of want to be like you in a few years. Can you tell me how to be like you? And she laughed, and she was very humble. She's like, you don't want to be like me. I don't have it together at all. And she started actually kind of sharing some of her struggles in parenting and how one of her daughters had just been diagnosed with a learning disability and how she was struggling figuring out school decisions. And she was asking me questions because she knew that I used to teach. And she's like, what are your thoughts about school, da-da-da-da. I was like, wait a second, you're supposed to be helping me figure out my life. But it was really neat. It was a cool conversation. And I remember asking her about her work and nonprofit work. And I was like, I really want to do that, but I have this baby, and I think I might want another one, and I don't really know how to get from where I am now to where you are. And she goes, don't stress. You are doing right now exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You are pouring into your babies, and you are being a mom, and that's where God wants you. Don't rush it. And that was just kind of like a aha moment for me, because I think I felt like I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't living to my fullest potential. I wasn't, you know, checking things off of my bucket list because I was just changing diapers and making food all the time. And so I kind of kept that little nugget of wisdom in me. And, you know, eventually I stopped going to CBS because I joined a discipleship group and we lost touch. But I always remembered what April said to me. So I joined a discipleship group, like I mentioned, and in addition to the Journey curriculum, it's always good when your watch runs out of battery when you need it. We were reading a book called The Whole in Our Gospel that my discipleship group leader, Dana, had read the summer before, and God really used it to speak to her, and she's like, y'all have to read this, it's really good. So we read it together, and I probably honestly would have never picked it up without the prodding of those women. And God really used that book and those women and those discussions we had to stir up stuff in my heart again. And, you know, Vicki mentioned that I am working for a nonprofit now, and it's because of these interactions. It's because these One Step Ahead moms were speaking into me. It's because they were bringing books into my life that opened my eyes, that put a passion in me. And anyways, that's where it kind of began. Moving on to the third one, I am part of MOPS. This is probably my last year with them because I'm aging out. I'm getting busy, but it's been really good. And in MOPS, we all have a mentor mom, just like you guys have veteran moms here. We have a mentor mom at each of our tables. And a friend of mine that I met through MOPS and through preschool, her son and my oldest son went to preschool together and were friends. We were at the same MOPS table together last year. And we were chatting about how our kids were getting a little bit older and we didn't know what we wanted to do with our time and all these decisions. It's like a lot of options, but at the same time felt overwhelming. And our mentor mom was like, have you ever read this book? It's called The Best Yes. And Amanda jumped on it right away. And she was like, oh, Jennifer, do you want to read that with me this summer? And I was like, okay. So she actually she bought the book and like Amazoned it to my house because she could tell I was a little bit reluctant. And we read it together. And it was hard to really do a formal book study because summertime, y'all, kids all the time. But we met like playgrounds and we would let the kids run around as we tried to talk about what we had read the last 2 weeks in the book. And again, God used Amanda, who really was a One Step Ahead mom friend because her kids were a bit older and she had four kids, I only had two. And I just felt like she was really wise. She used Amanda in that book together to get me ready for like my next season of life. And the book is talking about saying no to things that you're supposed to say no to so that you have margin and space to say yes to the best things that God is preparing to bring to you. And little did I know that God was preparing to bring something new just a few months after I read that book. So it was really cool. I'm happy to talk more about the ministry I'm involved with if any of you want to know. But we are going to switch things up a little bit and have some fun. We're going to try something I have never tried before. I have never speed dated in my life. I met my husband when we were in high school, and so I didn't really do the whole dating thing because we just kind of was just kind of me and him the whole time through. But we're going to do speed dating moms edition. Now, I'm not expecting that you necessarily make a lifelong friend, BFF, One Step Ahead mom friend in the next couple of minutes. But I thought it would be fun just to have a chance to get to know each other better. Some of you are already pretty tight, which is awesome, but some of you might hardly know each other's names, and that's okay too. So we're going to give you an opportunity to split up, and I'm not really sure how it's going to work, and if it doesn't split up exactly, it's okay. But if you look over there, we've got a long table set up, and I want half of you, that's what that's for. Let's say the slight, if you consider yourself a slightly older mom, as in you've got three kids, or maybe you've got two kids who are slightly older, then I want you to sit on the back row. And then if you consider yourself a newer mom, like you just got one kid, I don't want to say just one because one's a lot of work still, but one kid or like one with a baby, I know we've had a lot of babies lately, then I'll put you on the side that's closer to me. And I want you to sit across from somebody, all right? You're going to get 4 minutes with each mom before we rotate. And then so we're going to have the moms that are on this side, I have a little bell I'm going to ring. At the end of 4 minutes, you're going to shift down to your right, okay? So like this way. And if you're at the very end, then you're going to do a little running, and you go down there, okay? We probably won't need all these seats, so you might be able to skip, go every other seat. If it's awkward silence, it's okay. I got icebreaker questions I'm going to throw up on the screen. So you are welcome to use those questions. I have a different question every 4 minutes. But if y'all just want to talk about whatever, that is okay too. This is your time. You can talk about how you handle a blowout diaper at a restaurant or how you handle that tantrum that you just had to deal with this morning. Whatever is beneficial to you, you do you. If you really hit it off with someone, exchange numbers. I hear you that you do that at speed dating. I don't know. You're welcome to do that. Arrange a play date. And at the end, we'll bring it all back together. And I'm sure some of the veteran moms are happy to hold babies if we need to. I can hold a baby if you want me to. Any questions? All right, go find a seat, and I will flash the first question up there in a minute. All right, we're going to wrap up in just the next couple of minutes, so you can go get your kiddos downstairs. I loved participating in that speed dating. I hope you guys had fun, got to know a few other moms. I enjoyed some conversations about colic. I guess that's not enjoyable, but we talked about colic, breastfeeding, sleeping, lack thereof, balancing work and kids, all sorts of cool conversations. So I hope you were able to enjoy some of that as well. So I just wanted to tie everything together a little bit before we leave this morning. I've got a picture up here from when I got married almost 15 years ago when I was younger and more in shape to show a picture of some of my friends from back in the day to illustrate a point. And that is friends are really important, and we go through different seasons with our friends. And out of my seven bridesmaids, and it's not because I had really that many close friends. My husband was the extrovert and wanted seven groomsmen, so I had to match, right? I could have gone for two. But this past year, in 2018, it was really a year of God showing me, challenging me to be a good friend to some of my old friends who are up here on the screen. And it wasn't to be a one step ahead friend. It was to be a right there with you friend. In January of 2018, my best friend from college, Leanne, who's the one on that far side with her mouth open, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She had four kids, ages five and under, and lives out of state. And when one of your very closest friends goes through something like that, you want to do everything in your power to be a right there with you friend. And I'm so thankful to say that it's been a year out, and she's done with chemo and had her surgery, and everything is looking good for her. But it was God teaching me, how can I be a support to her and her kids and her family during that really difficult year for her? In August of 2018, my friend here, the redhead, Laura, who's been a missionary in China the last 10-plus years, was on a bit of a sabbatical back here in the States, visiting friends and supporters with her husband and four kids. I don't know why all my college friends had four kids. They're a little bit crazy. They're traveling around the U.S., and her husband, who is a native Chinese guy, was shot and killed walking home from a prayer meeting, just completely randomly. And it was just one of the worst things I could ever imagine happening. And so now she's here in the States raising four kids on her own. And it's, how are you going to be right there with you, friend? You better believe I showed up at that funeral and cried with her. You better believe every time I talk to her on the phone, I have no words of wisdom to speak to her. I have no experience to offer her. I've never been through anything like that remotely. But I think God is just showing me it's okay. Just text her anyways. Just be okay with there being silence on the phone when you talk to her because you don't know what to say. Because that's when... that's when the friendship is deep and, you know, you are sitting in that sorrow with her and, just being there for her. Wendy, who is right next to me, we were really good friends through high school. I got married kind of young, right out of college. And college is one of those times where it's easy to make friends, right? You're living in community with each other. You're all around the same age. And now as a mom, it's not like that anymore. So it's definitely a lot more challenging. I felt like I had a lot more friends back in my 20s. But Wendy was one of those friends I knew from a when we were young. We kind of had a falling out shortly after I got married. It's about a boy she was dating. Anyways, boys always. Not that I was interested in him. That would be weird. But we had a bit of a falling out and just kind of went separate paths and weren't really in touch for the last 15 years almost. And in December of 2018, I heard through another friend that she was critically ill in the hospital, ICU, medically induced coma. And I was like, what? Again, she's my age. And it was kind of awkward because we've been out of touch for 15 years. And I was like, should I reach out? I don't know. We left things kind of weird. But I just felt like God prodded me to say, yes, absolutely. You need to go and visit her. And so I did just 2 weeks ago. And glad to say she's doing better. And it was a crazy medical thing. She lost a baby through it. She was 14 weeks pregnant and lost that baby and had to get an emergency hysterectomy and everything. It was awful. It was awful. And I hate to end on a somber note, but I think I wanted to say that God uses friendships in so many different ways. And it's light and fun, like when we're speed dating, but it's also deep and real when we're in the trenches and dark places of life that God says we will walk through those times. And our husbands, hopefully, are a support network for us. But I think those female friendships that we invest in are really important, too, for when we go through those times. So just a couple of things to leave you with. To think about who might God be calling you to be a friend to. Maybe it's that right there friend. Maybe it's that friend who just went through a really crazy pregnancy and delivery and struggling at home right now. Maybe it's something else. Or who is someone that you admire that you might reach out to for some mentoring or friendship? Like my friend April, who I actually reconnected with her last week. I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a couple years. Guess what? I'm working for a nonprofit now. I have no idea what I'm doing. Can we meet for lunch and can you teach me a little bit? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And it was really neat to kind of make that a little bit full circle. And it might be years again before we meet, but it was cool to be able to do that. And then finally, just to trust that God is preparing next steps for you. So whatever that might be in your season of life, to not feel anxious about where you are or that God isn't using you to do really important work because he really is. So let me just close in prayer for us. Lord, thank you so much for this morning and this opportunity that we were able to have to meet some new moms, hopefully speak some encouragement to each other and just have fun. And we just thank you for the gift of community and for women and for friends. And Lord, for the mom who's sitting in here who's feeling lonely, who's feeling secluded at home, Lord, I pray that you would bring that friend to her. That would be an encouragement to her. I pray that you would open our eyes to the people around us who might need some extra support. Bring those older, wiser women to us, Lord, who can point us closer to you. And we just thank you so much that you have created us to live in community with one another. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you.